I want to say good morning to each one of you. Pray the Word of God is going to bless you and help you today. Hope you're looking forward to a great day of worship, a great day where you go and support your pastor and hold his hands up. You support the local church. Thank God for the local church. Where would we be today without the church? Jesus gave his life for the church. He birthed it by his shed blood. He bought it with his own life. He paid the price on Calvary's cross that the church could meet together and worship and honor God and lift him up. I read in the Psalms about the church in the wilderness. And so people today think, well, church is optional, but really it's a command. It's a command that we support the work of God, that we meet, that we come aside, the called out assembly. That's what the church is. And we've been commanded. I like the place over in Hebrews 10:25 where God said, forsake not the assembly yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so the writer of Hebrews, who I say is Paul, I give credit to Paul for that. He said, don't forsake the assembly yourselves together. Meet together. Come together. You know, I want to encourage you parents, don't make it optional. Don't make it an optional for your children. Don't leave it up to them. This flesh will never want to do the right thing. If you ever noticed this, we talked about it a while back, the flesh don't want to read the Word of God. The flesh don't want to obey the Word of God. The flesh always wants to flee. And it always wants to run, always wants to hide, just like Adam in the garden. God was having sweet fellowship with Adam, and he came and he talked to him. The word said that in the cool of the day, God would come by, and he came and sought for Adam. But sin, the sin seed in Adam's heart, came from his disobedience. And as he disobeyed, his heart was hardened. That's what sin does. It hardens our heart. It breaks the fellowship with God. It keeps us from wanting to obey him, to do what's right. And so as God came seeking Adam, he came seeking him, and as he came, he called for him, and he said, where art thou, Adam? He said, I was naked, and I hid myself. And God said this famous question. I pray we could get a hold of this today. Who told you? Who told you you were naked? Who told you were sinful? But I'm going to tell you, God put something in the heart of mankind called the conscience that always exposes our sin. And so the conscience, unless it's been defiled, the conscience, unless it's been seared, there are those that have seared their conscience, defiled their conscience, and it does not work as it ought. But I tell you, the will of God is for the conscience to work. And so here, back to where we were talking and coming to here just a moment ago, don't leave it up to the flesh. The flesh will always do the wrong thing. And so we don't want to give God what's his. We always want to promote self until we get flesh out of the way. And a key part of that is to discipline your children and yourselves to go to the house of God. Don't just go somewhere. Go where God's honored. Go where his word's preached. Go where his name's lifted up. Go where they're unashamed of worship. They're unashamed of praise. They're unashamed. I never encourage people to go somewhere that it appears to be a funeral. It appears to be some somber service where nobody can say anything. That's not the will of God. We want to be respectful. We want to be courteous. We want to be in order. God, Paul said, let all things be done decently in order. But we do not take away from the worship of God. Jesus dealt with this. And this is something here we will take time to talk about before we get into the text. But just warming up to you, loving on you a little bit. Jesus said it in Luke 19:39-40. Remember when he came through the place and there were people that were worshiping him? And some of the Pharisees, verse 39, from among the multitude said, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And Jesus said, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the rocks would immediately cry out. You know what Christ was saying? He's going to be worshipped. He's going to be praised. And so people, what happens? They go to the sporting events of this world. They go to the popular events, the music events. And so they give all of those things their adoration and praise and gratitude. but not God. And so you know what the culture says today? Don't praise him. That's what the Pharisees said. Don't worship him. That's what they said. But Jesus said, if these should hold their peace, the rocks will worship God. I tell you, if we hold our peace, God can make any element he created. He can cause the trees to praise him, the rocks to praise him, is what Christ said. The rocks would immediately cry out. So not only do we go, get our soul fed the good word of God. The word of God brings us back to where we need to be. We start the week out right when we fill our hearts with the word of God. And so we allow God to have first place in our hearts the first day of the week, and we start the week and we go in God's will. Numbers chapter 10 is where we're going to begin looking today. Numbers 10 of the Word of God. Numbers, the 10th chapter. I'm going to say a little bit about what we need to see here concerning the trumpets. Watch this. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver. Of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly, and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes which are heads of the thousands of Israel shall gather themselves unto thee. And when ye blow an alarm, then shall the camps that lie on the east part shall go forward. And he said, when you blow the second time, the south side. And here, go on, look down quickly with me to the 8th verse. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets. And they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. And if ye go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets. And ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. Verse 10 said also, in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginning of your months, shall ye blow with trumpets over your burnt offerings, and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. Father, take the reading of your word today. Speak it to every heart. And God, apply it. Father, we pray, to our lives. God, let us be encouraged by it, fortified by it, fed by it today. God, let us be challenged. God, let us be spoke to, God, by the writings of your precious book. God, your holy writ, may it be real to our hearts today. Do it, I pray, in Jesus' name. For the glory of God, we ask it. Amen and amen. Numbers chapter 10. What a blessed passage here. As God told Moses, you're going to take and make two trumpets of silver. And so as Moses obeys the command of God, not only does God tell him what he wants, but he tells him how he wants it. And he tells him how he wants him to use it. I like that. The thoroughness of God. You know, people today wonder, I would be lost if I tried to go God's way, because I would know nothing about what God wanted. But he always tells us. He always shares his word with us. Whether he did that with the disciples audibly, we may see a place like that. Or we see where he does it through the writings of the scripture. God's preserved the scripture, protected the scripture. I'm thinking about people like Wycliffe today that God used, and as he was inspired to take the word of God away from the power of the Roman Pope and the papacy, and he gave the word of God to the common people. And then one of the great things happened in our history. In the 1450s, we see it where Gutenberg, God gave him and inspired him to create the printing press. And then the word of God became public in mass production. And so as the word of God was got out, people came along, such as Luther, God raised up. And then the great Reformation. God used these men in such a dark time when the word of God was not public. You had to go somewhere to ask somebody what they thought. Aren't you glad we don't have to do it today? We can read it right from the pages of His Word. God told Moses, this is what I want. This is how I want you to make it. This is what I want you to do with it. And this will be the order. Thank God, God has an order and a way, and we can know His way. And so here, the trumpet, I like this part of how He described what we're going to use the trumpet for. We're going to use it for the feast time. We're going to use it when we want the camp to move. You know, there were many millions of Jews. And so as they camped around the tabernacle, if you can get this scene of the great tabernacle tent where God abode and the priest worked out of, it was the church in the wilderness. But the church is the assembly. The church is the people. That's not changed today. The church today is not the building that you drive by or go to. The church is the called out assembly. It's the people of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God had a church in the wilderness. And He said, when we blow the trumpet, the camp's going to move. And first is going to be this side and that side. And they're going to move in as the trumpet blows. But watch this in the ninth verse, because I think this is what God would like us to focus on today. The ninth verse of Numbers chapter 10, if you come along late, said this: if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. How important was the trumpet to be blown? It was so important. God said, this is what I'll remember, and this is when I will move and save you from your enemies. It was what woke up the army. It was what stirred up the troops. It was what we find in God's Word that preserved and protected God's people. Go over with me to Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33. I want you to see a famous passage here that God would have us to look at. And many of you know this passage, but I'm thinking of another passage right now where God said this. He said, set the trumpet to thy mouth. If we don't blow the trumpet, then the trumpet's no good. If we just have it, it's so much like the Word of God. If we just have the Word, but we don't use it, we don't blow it, we don't alarm the people, if we don't wake the people up, then the trumpet's no good. The camps won't know when to move. The feast times will be to no avail if the people don't know when to come. That was the use of the trumpet. And so the use of the Word of God, if we don't use it, it has no effect. God talked about those unto whom the gospel had no effect. And we today, if we won't hear the Word, so many of you today are traveling, you're back and forth, maybe you have to work on this day, or maybe you're on your way to church, or whatever the case is, if we don't hear the Word of God, it's what you're doing right now. If you're listening to this broadcast, you are hearing the trumpet blown. But if we don't hear the trumpet, if we don't get the Word of God out to our neighbor, if we don't warn those that we work with, if we don't be the light God's called us to be. Jesus said this, He taught like this in Matthew 5, 13 and 14. He said, ye are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. He said, a city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. And then He said something about this in the 16th verse. Remember this place, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. See, we have to see the light, and we have to hear the trumpet. And without that, then it's no effect. And God said, Jesus said this. He said that you're the light of the world. And He said, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. But He taught like this, we're to glorify God and let them see the good works. Remember the place in Matthew 5:16. And so what will they do? They will glorify God. That's what the Word of God's about. That God gets the glory, not man. I'm afraid of anything that honors man. I don't mean this lightheartedly. anything that worships man. Let's rephrase that. To honor those that are faithful, the Word of God is good. To honor our parents. To honor those that go before us in the work. That's great. That's God's will. Not worship. And we have to separate that. And so Exodus 33, I keep saying Exodus, it's Ezekiel 33. Again, the Word of the Lord came to me, verse 1, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman. Notice this. If we're going to have a trumpet, then bless God, we need a watchman. We need somebody that's going to watch. Somebody that's going to blow the trumpet. Because the trumpet has to be blown. And when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. And whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet taketh not warning. If he hears, God said, whosoever. Don't you love the whosoever wills of the Word of God? Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. And so the gospel call is to all mankind. It does not depend on the color of your skin or what side of the tracks you were raised on, or if your hair's red, black, or yellow, or if you even have hair. Thank God. Ain't you glad that's not part of the process? And so it does not depend on your social stature, your political stature. It does not depend on your self-worth or how you deem yourself. It depends on whosoever will, let him come. I'm glad of that. You said, preacher, my past is an ugly past. Can't so many of us say it? And so many of us today, people today with prison in their background, jail time, drugs and alcohol addictions, sex addictions, all kinds of filth, murder in their heart, murder that they personally committed, things that they've done that would make black marks on a washpot. I tell you, God will forgive, and the gospel call was to whosoever will, let him come. Jesus would have saved Pilate if he'd asked him. I tell you, there are those that God has shown grace to, so many that are just like you and I, unworthy, but the gospel calls to whosoever wills. And so he, whosoever, heareth the sound of the trumpet, and God said he takes not warning, if the sword come, and take him away, and his blood shall be upon his own head. And the reason why, right here in the fifth verse, he heard the sound of the trumpet, and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. Thank God. God said if we take warning to the Word of God, when we hear God's word, that's the trumpet today. That's why God said, set the trumpet to thy mouth. That's why God said in Isaiah 59, remember this place? 58:1, he said, cry aloud and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. God said, blow it, blow it. If we don't blow the trumpet, a preacher's not worth the salt in his bread. If he won't warn the people, he has no business carrying God's word. We don't need pretty little messages today that warm our hearts and make us feel better about our sin. We've got plenty of that. That's everywhere. The TV evangelists, most of them's done a real good job of supplying all of that. We need those with the salt of the Word of God. We need those with the unction of the Holy Ghost that'll cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. That was the call in Isaiah 58:1, and we still need it today. We must blow the trumpet. God said if they blow the trumpet and take not warnings, what's going to happen? The enemy's still going to come. Death's still going to come his way, but his blood shall be upon his own head. But this, he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. Do you see the protection of the Word of God? The protection of the trumpet. I tell you, when we hear it, we respond to it, we obey it. It's much like the gospel call when it came to you, when it came to me. If I hear the call, if I take warning, if I repent and call on God, if I come to Him out of a pure heart, that doesn't mean my heart was pure. That means my motives were pure. That means I came to Him and said, take all. I'm yours. I surrender. The old song says, I surrender all. Don't you still love that old hymn? I surrender all. All to Jesus, I surrender. That's what salvation is. Zacchaeus came down out of the tree. He heard Christ blow the trumpet. And you said, when did Christ blow a trumpet? In Luke 19. I tell you when He blew it. When He looked up at Zacchaeus and said, make haste and come down. Today, salvation's come to thy house. I tell you, there's not one of you that's set under gospel preaching. I'm talking about real preaching that's heard the gospel call, that God didn't blow the trumpet to your heart. He warned you. And if you take warning, what's going to happen? You shall deliver your soul. But if you won't take warning, the enemy's going to come and he's going to destroy you. He's going to possess you. He's going to rule you. He's going to lead your life astray. And you're going to go through this thing maybe 40, 50, 60 years, 70, 80, 90. But if you don't get right with God, He will doom you and damn you and condemn you to a devil's hell. See, this is the gospel call. We have to see it. You said, preacher, there's no enemy in my neighborhood. I don't even know where ISIS is over here. We've got no problems. We've got good folks around us. But I tell you, the enemy today has stole. He has robbed. That's what he came for. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he's destroyed and wrecked and ransacked so many lives today, and they can't see their need, the blind spots. And what do they say? They say that we're doing well. They're much like the Laodicean church. We're rich. We're increased with goods and have need of nothing. And Jesus said, you do not know that you're blind, halt, maimed, and naked. He said, you don't know it. You don't know that you're without. You don't know that spiritually you're bankrupt. Somebody's got to blow the trumpet. It's not just having a good life. It's not just keeping our children out of trouble. It's not just keeping our marriage together. It's knowing Christ in the free pardon of sin, hearing the trumpet call, obeying God's command to repent. Brother, I'm going to tell you, Jesus always preached repent, 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 the kingdom of heaven's at hand. And remember, he taught like this, over in Luke 13, I'm thinking about the place where twice he warned them. He warned them. He said, I tell you, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He said, think ye these were worse than everybody else? Those Galileans that led 400 folks out there and they all perished. He said, I tell you, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And so what's the call to all mankind today? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God's at hand. Christ preached it. John the Baptist preached it. Paul preached it. The apostles preached it. Repent, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Every time breath leaves a body, every time there's one taken down to the funeral home, every time you see the signs out by your neighbor's yard, you know what's happened? God has required. He's required of that soul. And if we heed not the warning, what's going to happen? The enemy will destroy us. But if the watchman, I want you to see the sixth verse. The sixth verse said, but if the watchman, Ezekiel 33, verse 6, if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come, and take any person from among them, he's taken away. How so? He's taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. God said he's going to die. He's going to be taken away. He's going to leave this world lost in the application of lost or saved. The bad things are going to happen. But he said, I'm going to require his blood at the hand of the watchman that will not blow the trumpet. I'm going to require it at his hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee. God said, Ezekiel, I've set you a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear my word, thy word, the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. Now watch this. we got to back up and look at this a little closer. God said, if the watchman doesn't blow the trumpet, where does the blood lay? Oh, yeah, he's still going to die lost. But the blood I'm going to require at your hand. God said, if you won't blow the trumpet, then what good are you? It's much like we were talking about earlier, a preacher that won't preach, what good is he? He won't blow the trumpet. He won't warn his people. And so this effort of being all things well, this effort of saying nice little words and Jesus is going to save you, that is not the gospel call. The gospel call, and this is what the church today is fighting so many times, not all of them, some of them, tooth and nail, they fight the gospel call to repent, to repent. And so we see it here. He said, if they won't warn the people, God help us from lily-livered preachers. God help us from those yellowbacks. God help us from those that won't warn. Soft-spoken and little nice messages, little frilly things, little speeches that have no effect. I tell you, that's not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not the gospel of the Apostle Paul. And so the warnings have to come. If that trumpet blower in the 10th chapter of Numbers, if he just breathed in it a little bit, and it wouldn't even get off of the watchstand where he was, what good was it? See, it has to be declared. The word of God has to go forth. Paul, we were preaching some things Paul preached here lately of Acts 16 and 17. And as he warned the men of Athens, that warning was a real warning that had a real effect, and men were saved by it. See, the gospel call of Acts 2 and 3, remember Peter's first two messages. 3,000 were saved. 5,000 were saved. God breathes on that that brings him honor and glory, and that doesn't bring him honor and glory is a reproach to him. So much a reproach that God said, I've set you a watchman, Ezekiel, and you better blow the trumpet, son. You better get the word of God out. You better quit soft peddling. Don't start this stuff that won't help people. Don't give them nice little feel-good stories. Give them the salty word of God. Give them that of the black back book. Give them that of the red, white, chapter and verse word of God. Something that'll salt their oats. Something that'll cause them to come. Jesus preached, brother, I'm going to tell you, I like John's preaching. I like Jesus preaching, don't you? We need to go back sometime and maybe preach what John preached. And he said, the axe is laid under the root of the tree. And every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down. He said, it's cut down and it's cast into the fire. He looked at those of Matthew 3 and he said, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee the wrath of God to come? Jesus talked to the lawyers like this in Matthew 23:33. He said, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? The warnings that came, the warnings that God sent, we need those. Thank God for the love of God. We must preach the love of God, but we won't preach the love of God if we won't preach the word of God. And God said here, you say, well, preacher, I love my folks too good to say things that'll alarm them, say things that'll scare their children, say things that'll wake up their sleeping husband. I love them too good for that. We all got to get along, you know. Bible to tell you, sir, you're going to be hated of those that wake up in hell if you did not warn them. They're going to be looking for the lying preacher that wouldn't tell them the truth. They're going to be looking for those that wouldn't blow the trumpet. What good was the trumpet? What good was it that Moses had it made? Had it taken just as God said, if nobody will blow it? And so what's the need of the hour? To get the gospel out. And see it right here. When I say unto the wicked, verse number 8, and we got to get out of here. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Nevertheless, God said, I've got something else to say about it. Nevertheless, if I warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. I would rather be one that's free in my soul, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you rather be free in your heart that you've warned your loved ones? Wouldn't you rather be free that you've told them the truth, preacher? Wouldn't you rather be free that you've done that, that God's put on your heart to do? And here we see it where those that said, I'm free from the blood of all men. Paul taught like that in Acts chapter 20. He said, I've went house to house. I've warned you publicly. I've preached it in your churches. I've preached it on the river banks. I've preached the gospel. I've preached it with tears. I've warned you all. And he said this in Acts chapter 20. What a famous passage. He said, I weep that I'll see your face no more. But he said, I've not to shun to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. I've not to shun to preach everything God said. But I'm going to tell you, this is where we must be. If you're the leader of a local church, maybe you're a deacon today, you better find those. You said, preacher, we're in a pastor search. You better find one that's not afraid to blow the trumpet. You better find one that's not afraid to warn the people, that's not afraid to love them enough to tell them the truth. Listen, if we'll be honest, we would say that the thing we hate worst is to be lied to. But I tell you, I wouldn't have a pastor that wouldn't tell me the truth, would you? I wouldn't bring an evangelist in, no matter how long he's been coming, if he wouldn't preach the truth. And so what do? When we make decisions about where we're going to worship, you have to keep in mind, God's put you in a place, mom and dad, he's put you in a place to blow the trumpet in the lives of your children and to get them under the word of God. And you must get them somewhere where the pastor will preach God's unadulterated pure word. Father, take your word today. God, wake us up to the truth. God, help us today to understand the need of the hour. The need of the hours that we warn, that we love, that we care for. God, that we get the gospel to those that need it today. Father, let us stand tall. Those that are blowing the trumpet, God, I pray you'd encourage them to keep blowing it. Never to quit blowing it. God, they're going to be rewarded for blowing it. Lord, for sharing God's truth, for publishing God's word. God, you won't forget. Lord God, you're not unrighteous to forget our work and labor of love, which we've showed, God, that we've ministered. You won't forget that, and we praise you for it. Father, speak to hearts today. If there's a sinner, I pray you'd save them. God, I pray you'd strengthen them. Draw them back, Lord, that backslider. Draw them back to the fold. God, do it with the truth and with the warning of your word. Do it now, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. For God's glory, we pray these things. Amen and amen.